Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, July 16, 2020. Just, about a dozen days over 100 to the 2020 election. So important. I think it's the most important election of our lifetime. It's going to define the future of our country. Welcome to Hagman, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReportLive.com. You want links, you want program descriptions, you want audio, video, that's the place to go, HagmanReportLive.com. Also, HagmanReport.com as well for articles, information, and such. Facebook, yes, still, on that battleground, as well as Twitter, Hagman Report on both, my personal Facebook and my personal Twitter under Doug Hagman or Hagman PI. All right. You got just a packed show for you today. I'm going to start right off by telling you, here's what is going to be taking place. I want to get into the very complex funding and the ideological background of Black Lives Matter, and to tell you exactly what is going on with this and who we're fighting. Remember, Randy Taylor came on the show, and we said we're going in. We are in to various groups. Now listen carefully when I tell you this. These are organizations, that are Black Lives Matter organizations, various, geographical outposts of Black Lives Matter, but also Antifa and other organizations that are sprouts of those. And they communicate, I'm not going to get too far into the details, but they communicate by way of social networking. So in a manner of speaking, okay, there are a couple of different technical things that people need to realize. We need to be on Facebook and various social media platforms. There are subgroups and subgroups on Twitter and Facebook and such, okay? Instagram and all of these other playgrounds of the anarchists. So, we're in there and we're monitoring what they're saying. And I'm going to tell you something. They are planning a lot for November. They're, regardless of who wins, they're planning on riots, the day after the elections, the day of the elections. And also, do you remember that picture of the Black Panthers intimidating voters back whenever that was, Obama? You remember that picture. Watch for more of that coming. But this time it's going to be, you're not going to see necessarily all blacks doing this. It's going to be, I would say the majority of them are going to be whites. This is being set up right now. Also being set up are phony ballots. This is and I'll tell you a little bit, not too much, just to whet your appetite. Phony ballots are being created right now for the left. And when I say that, I'm telling you that your vote in some places, mail-in votes specifically, have already been created. That's right. I want to be careful with my words here. How to distribute these or to get these into the legitimate voters voting roles. There's also plans to steal the Republican votes, actually steal the paper ballot, mail-in ballots. All right, just giving you some heads up here. There's also a couple of groups. Now, these are more geographically in the Pacific Northwest, West Coast, more than the East. Some in the South and just a very minor few in the East that we found so far. of groups who are planning on terrorizing suburban neighborhoods. Now, you've heard this open source before. We're looking at the plans. I'll give you one example. You have a car sitting in your driveway. It's a nice car. It's your car. Remember those five, well, numerous police vehicles that were torched? Consider that. That's what they're planning. They're going after the vehicles. They're going after houses. Much like you saw in Missouri. But again, these are all, and you might say, well, geez, we've heard this and, you know, we're aware of this. No. Names. Locations, specific areas, the people who are planning this. Now, it's interesting that I'll tell you this. It's interesting there is a conspiracy statute federally because a lot of this is interstate. Most of it right now is intrastate, but a lot of this is interstate. So the feds are becoming aware of this through our efforts. We have been granted a specific status. To tell you what I mean by that is if you are an informant or an informational asset, I'll use the proper phrase here. If you are an informational asset for the Department of Justice and or the FBI, they have to vet you and your organization, and then they'll send you a letter. All right, I've got the letter that we have been a vetted informational and operational asset, distinctly important. Operational asset meaning that we can actually insert ourselves into certain situations with the proper oversight to bring forth information that will create indictments. All right. This is what we're doing right now. So I've given you a taste or at least an idea of what's being planned. Oh, one more thing. As if this is a, if this is anecdotal, it's not really anecdotal. There are some people being targeted by these groups. I'll just say this. Those who are being targeted that we know of right now, that list is not all inclusive. In other words, it's growing, have been notified, as have the proper authorities. This is not a game, by the way. These people are serious. And in a moment here, you're going to see my presentation. You're going to see how serious this is. And again, this utopian road to hell, this satanic, demonic, influenced operation, and operations plural. I will say that some of these are parallel groups that are doing parallel. They have parallel operations. They're not working together. They're parallel. And others are working together. So there's multiple layers, multiple distinctions here that we must make. So we've already gotten off to a fantastic start. This, you know, we announced this week, but really it's been going on now for about 90 days. Takes time. So a couple of headlines, and I'm going to get into the meat here. Things that you may have heard, but are important nonetheless. Court rules part of major Democrats' Virginia gun control measure unconstitutional. Thank you. But regardless of what the court rules, anything that any law that is antithetical to the Constitution is no law at all. And we've talked about that before, but an assault on the Virginia gun control measures. Interestingly enough, too, Roger Stone came out, and God bless that man. And if you haven't seen this already, let me just make sure I get this correct here. The the URL. It's justthenews.com. That's justthenews.com. If you haven't seen this, and I'll put the link in the program description box, Roger Stone speaks with the host of this program and talks about the satanic behind Robert Mueller's prosecutors. Let me read the first sentence here from this particular website, justthenews.com. You were expecting the perpetual bad boy of GOP politics would emerge from his long ordeal at the hands of special counsel Robert Mueller's prosecutors, chastened, housebroken, and mellowed. Fat chance, he writes. Newly delivered by President Trump, within days to spare, the 40-month prison sentence that had been looming before him, Roger Stone is wearing a T-shirt, blurring the words, Roger Stone still did nothing wrong. And if you really, and there it is on your screen, and thank you, Eric the Tech. You know what? He didn't even know I was going to go here. That's how good Eric the Tech is. By the way, Eric the Tech, let me break for a second script here, as if we have one. Let me ask you a question.
Follow the teleprompter.
Yeah. Where is it? Okay. Let me ask you a question. My wife and I were going through some photographs that were taken very recently, wink, wink, in a recreational setting. Wink, wink again. And you were with it was just a great picture of you and two children. And she said, you ought to put that up on Facebook, on the Hagman Report Facebook. Your thoughts?
I don't want to be facial recognized.
That's right. Okay. See what I do?
That was my son and niece, so people know. It wasn't some random kids.
Well, you know, isn't it a shame that we have to make that distinction?
Yeah.
But you're right. But I've got to tell you, Eric the Tech, in addition to being a great tech, he's a great father. He's a great uncle. He's a fantastic around children and pets, and he's a great son-in-law as well. So anyway. All right. So back to Roger Stone. And I had the opportunity to speak with Roger after the pardon. And let me tell you something. He is all of this. Again, here's what this justthenews.com writes. Roger Stone is, again, wearing the T-shirt, Roger Stone still did nothing wrong, and that's true. You were expecting the perpetual bad boy of GOP politics would emerge from his long ordeal at the hands of special counsel Robert Mueller's prosecutors Jason Brosbroken and Mellon. Again, fat chance. The meat of it is this. And listen to this. I really do believe that those who are trying to undo this president, those who are trying to destroy me, trying to destroy Michael Flynn, who's a very good man and a great American patriot war hero, I do believe they're satanic. This, again, he tells Just the News in a podcast interview for the pod's Honest Truth. It's a great interview. It's a great interview. And you know, the things he said there he shared with me. He's not afraid to talk about this and to talk about his newly found salvation. Most guys, I'm afraid, you know, sadly, most guys, they don't want to talk about their faith. They don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. It's embarrassing to talk, right, about your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. You're not a man? No. And everyone had mocked, not everyone, but a lot of people mocked Roger, saying, oh, you know, everyone finds Jesus in prison and religion in prison. Well, you've got a point. I've seen that happen, of course, but this is a strictly, I believe, a true down deep in the heart conversion. And isn't this, after all, what this is all about, what we're all about here? In addition to the physical, it's the spiritual. It's the spiritual battle that we are engaged. I had Coach Dave Dobmeier, if you're listening to this, and folks, if you're not familiar with Coach's Huddle, in the 7 o'clock in the morning, I had urged him to join the huddle. I don't know if he's been a lurker or part of it, but I said, look, you've got you want to change things, and you want to change. Join Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com. Join the huddle. And I know he's up early in the morning. And so anyway, all right. But getting back to the issues at hand here. Okay, so you've got Roger Stone. I told you about that. There's another Marxist Black Lives Matter being planned in Los Angeles. Now, consider the fact that, hey, you can't go to church. You cannot eat at a restaurant necessarily. You have to wear masks. You have to, I mean, all of these incredible, rules. But Black Lives Matter, the Los Angeles County coronavirus, again, so severe that, churches and synagogues are being told to shut down. Garcetti, of course, the mayor, is threatening to force everyone back under their desk and under their bed, except for Black Lives Matter. Well, I'm going to tell you all about Black Lives Matter, and you need to listen to this. Because, as again, where we're at, and this is going to kind of kick us off to let you know, this is kind of a Black Lives Matter 101. Because we are going to get, come here, come closer. We're going to get serious. And when you see what we've got, whew, it's going to cause Ricky to burn, you know. Hey, watch Ricky, don't overcook. I can smell it from here. Oh, and your husband, again, lucky guy, great guy. Hello to you too, sir. All right. Let's pull up, I put a couple of things together here. Let's pull up the title page to this, if you don't mind. This, my presentation, kind of 101 on Black Lives Matter. It's going to give you a little bit of, historical background and some recent news. The first panel here, the first slide on this, remember that precinct? Remember the Seattle Police Department, that precinct? By the way, I don't have, I forgot to transfer that to my, to my electronics here, so I can't remember what's going to come next, but here's the Seattle Police Department, East Precinct, pre-Black Lives Matter takeover, or at least somewhat pre. You can see some plywood there, but okay, there it is right there. Well, guess what? They caught the guy who was responsible for putting it on fire. Felony arson charges against Isaiah Thomas Willoughby, 35 years old. Now, this is a fire that started on June 12th of this year, 3 o'clock in the morning at the police precinct. Now, look at this guy. There he is right there. That's Isaiah Thomas Willoughby. All right, 35. I don't know. Is that? Do you think that's a picture for his job? A name badge for his job? I don't know. Picture that would go on his job thing? I don't know. There it is right there. So there's the guy. There is the man who has been charged with setting the precinct on fire. And you know how he got caught? Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. Facebook. Among other ways, he told his aunt too. And anyway, all right. This next slide right now. You remember all of the vehicles, the police vehicles that were burnt? Oh, look at that. The picture on your left is an actual photograph by the police department. Now, I'm not sure if this was taken by a CCTV. I'm not sure how that photograph was taken. But Margaret Channon, 25 years old, there she is in all of her glory. She was caught and charged with setting police vehicles on fire. Now, interesting point. Do you know how she was caught? Do you know how? Her eyebrows and her tattoos. That's right. You can read on the side. I can't read it because it's too far away from me. But anyway, her eyebrows and tattoos. That's how she was caught. Interestingly enough. And she's being charged with torching, I think, five police vehicles. All right, moving along here. You may not have heard about this. Black Lives Matter once again. This past Monday, two police officers were shot. One was murdered in, I think it's called Bothell, Washington. The police officer, 32-year-old Jonathan Shoup, was killed in the line of duty, was shot by this punk. Now, on the right is this piece of crap who allegedly shot the police officer. Now, these are his Facebook photographs. This is just a collage of his Facebook photographs. Gee, does he have glaucoma? Huh. Oh, and there's pictures of him with guns and such, but in case you're wondering, the next photograph should tell it all. There you go. What does that say on the bottom, folks? Repeat after me. Or let's say it together. Black Lives Matter, and there is that revolutionary fist. Black Lives Matter. That's his Facebook post right there. I didn't do nothing. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. And of course, these are the protesters, right? No. All right, next slide. There's Jonathan Shoup. God bless him. And this is from a Twitter feed. You can see who tweeted this out. She writes, Black Lives Matter thug. By the way, a child was shot here, too. And, of course, she excerpted the Black Lives Matter picture as well as him with another picture. There's a gun there. You can see. He's on the right. And then, of course, the officer. What about Blue Lives Matter? What about All Lives Matter? All right.
You can't say that.
Hell, I can't. I can say whatever I want, including All Lives Matter. And they do. Now, if you are a leftist, a Marxist, a communist, part of the feminazi movement, and part of the Lesbionics Anonymous, or if you are put in office by, Soros money, and you think that, you think that killing babies is a reproductive choice or a healthcare choice, then, you know, how is that possible?
You can't say that.
Yeah. It's sad. It really is. And, you know, I had a friend back in 1991. In fact, the day, April 7th, 1991, a friend of mine from Texas, police officer, guy that first taught me how to ride a motorcycle. I dropped his bike more than once. And he was patient with me. He was shot and killed in the line of duty in Texas. Traffic stop. His name is Bruno. Anyway. Next slide. Let's talk about the roots of this movement. Black Lives Matter was established as an online platform in 2013 by Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. Now, for those of you who are listening on the radio, there are slides that I'm reading from and referencing. If you're listening by Global Star or wherever, please just take a look at the slides. In 2015, there was a July 2015 speech at the annual Netroots Nation convention in Phoenix. Patrice Cullors exhorted fellow blacks to rise the F up and shut this down and burn everything down in 2015 as well. She openly acknowledged Black Lives Matter's revolutionary Marxist objectives. Look, folks, this is not about race. It's not about being black or brown or blue or purple. It's not about race. It's about the installation, the construction of a Marxist communist structure in this country and burn everything else to the ground. And she said it right there. To rise the F up, shut this down, and burn everything down. And Cullors openly acknowledged, like I said, their revolutionary Marxist objectives, proclaiming on video, we actually do have an ideological frame. Cullors and Alicia Garza, in particular, were trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on ideological theories. Now, let me stop you right there. And if you can get ready to cue up that video, this number two video. This, when they say they're trained and they're organized, Randy Taylor, myself, and those people who we are actually actively vetting and putting to work in infiltrating these organizations to expose them, to stop them, they're very well organized. They're very well funded. And by the way, thank you, because, you know, this is what we do. Your support goes to train, goes to support, pay the bills. You know, if somebody spends 8 hours a day, 9, 10 hours a day, Randy Taylor, I know, spends 16 hours a day. Easy in doing exactly this, the infiltrating. So if you think that, if people think that these protests are organic and spontaneous, they just happen, no. They're very, in fact, I would say that 98% of everything that you see out there is heavily scripted. Talking about the Marxist ideology, here she is in her own words, if you can play that video.
I think that the criticism is helpful. I also think that it might, I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are versed on sort of ideological theories.
There it is, in her own words. Now, if you go back to that frame on the presentation, if you can. Sorry. Eric's over there going, hey, throwing stuff at me. But I'm going to tell you something. The roots of Black Lives Matter come from, and you're going to see something really, really crazy here in a moment, but they come from the Marxist, Leninist, Maoist ideology. And you know who one of the biggest supporters of this? Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Bathhouse, Barry Obama.
No.
Yeah. Doggone it, yeah. And I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll prove it to you.
He was the greatest ever.
In his own mind. All right. So,
how's that Obamacare working out for you?
Well, the people are too stupid, in the words of Jonathan Gruber.
How much is your insurance?
You want to know?
Yeah. Tell people.
$1,500 a month.
For both you and your wife?
Yes. And that's, but my co-payment? You know, I might as well. My co-payment is, when I went to the doctor's, she said, this can't, your co-, you can't be right. You don't have insurance? What? Your co-payment is like $150. She said, I've never seen that. I have a co-payment. I said, well, it's, you know, that, so thank you, Obama.
His legacy.
Yeah. And don't forget, Mitt Romney, Romney Care, Hillary Clinton, Hillary Care. Remember that back in the 90s? They go after the healthcare industry because, number one, it's 25, 30% of the economy, but also it's a method to euthanize the elderly. It's all part of it. All right. I'm not done with Patrice Cullors here. This Muppet. Okay, she was the protege of Eric Mann. Now, if you never heard of Eric Mann, two N's on Mann. He was a communist revolutionary and a domestic terrorist who, in the 1960s and 70s, was a member of SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society. Where have we heard that before? Hey, the same group that ran with the Weather Underground. Remember Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. And their shared objective is to launch a race war against the whites, against the white people, United States, or against the white U.S., the white United States, on behalf of the non-white third world. Man trained Cullors in Marxist-Leninist ideology and the tactics of political organizing. And this is what we're seeing in the shady, smoky back rooms. Well, not necessarily in the smoky back rooms, at least not tobacco smoke, but in the Ethernet as well. I'm going to tell you right now, all right, this has its roots in the Weather Underground. It has the roots. And, oh, why do you think Barack Hussein Obama is still in Washington? Because I submit to you, and this is my professional, well-researched opinion, that he is playing a role in this racial war that is being attempted to be started by Black Lives Matter. And here's the other thing, too. Let's move on. I was going to say something, but I'll wait for that. Let's go to the next one. Look at that first sentence. On February 20th, 2015, Cullors visited the White House, where she met with First Lady Michelle Obama. Michael Obama. See? Hey, if it wasn't true, I couldn't put it on the internet. If it wasn't true, you couldn't say that. They're the three lovely Muppets right there. in quote, quoting Don Imus, the late Don Imus, nappy, never mind. I can't say that. There, I would really get, oh, you laughed. I saw you out there laughing. You know what I was going to say, right? Never mind. All right. In 2015 as well, callers openly acknowledged their Black Lives Matter Marxist influence, proclaiming on video, we actually do have this ideological frame. Okay, so I kind of copied that again because I think it bears repeating. And Black Lives Matter originated from what incident? It was the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman incident. And on HagmanReport.com, you got to watch Joel Gilbert. I'm going to have Joel on the phone, on the program here. Joel Gilbert found that the prosecution of George Zimmerman was a fraud. I'm going to tell you, if you can watch that video and walk away from it without being disgusted, without kicking anything, man, you're better than me. So they're the three Muppets from Black Lives Matter, the founders of Black Lives Matter. Okay, next one. Let's talk. Is that Patricia? I thought we already did that. Can you blow, bring that forward? Okay. Yeah, okay. This is even more about her. And folks, you can look at this. You can look at this. I mean, she was born in LA in 84. When she was a child, her father was incarcerated numerous times for drug offenses. Well, that's a surprise. So we didn't have this nuclear family there with Patrice. Patrice, you got daddy issues? All right, let's go on. There's Alicia. I'm going to tell you something. This is just me personally. I have never dated in my day. I've been married, a long time, so. Nor would I date. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't mean to offend you. It's just not my thing. I would admit I've never dated any woman with a tattoo. Ever. That's just me. Again, that's just me. And thank you. And you know why I dislike ladies with tattoos? Because I believe women are generally, genuinely beautiful. I really do. You don't need to mar that beauty with ink. Anyway, Alicia Garza, born in 1981, self-described queer. Social justice activist. So she's not only a Muppet, but she's a queer. Hey, I didn't say those are her words, not mine. She's a Marxist revolutionary. She's a former Black Panther and convicted cop killer. She's associated with that, Shakur, in conjunction with the Black Liberation Movement. She is a great admirer of Angela Davis. Now, Angela Davis, if you really understand her, she's a Marxist and a former Black Panther. And there's some more information in there, but look at the ties to the Communist Party USA, the Weather Underground. Oh, look, there's Bill Ayers again. And Bernadine Dorn again. And remember Jack Cashel talking here in studio about Bill Ayers and about his suspicions about what he wrote on behalf of Obama, what Obama said he wrote. But in fact, it was Bill Ayers. Just saying. But there's more on Alicia Garza. All right. Next one. How about Opal Tometi? Yeah. And there you can read about her. And now she is, her parents immigrated illegally from Nigeria to the United States in 1983. She was born in 84. She grew up in Phoenix. Seemingly well-educated. She became associated with the ACLU, ACLU project that monitored and reported on the activities of, what's that say, vigilantes? Who sought to prevent illegal, thank you, Eric the Tech. Citizens who tried to prevent illegals from entering the United States, she waged war against them. And you can read more about that. And that's Opal Tometi. So again, there are the three Muppets who formed Black Lives Matter. Of course, there's a glamour shot. So February 20th, Colors visited the White House, as where she met with Michelle Obama. Another one visited the White House. I'm not sure if I put that in there. Was it Tometi or the other one? Anyway, the two of the three visited the White House, not once and not twice, but a number of times, I might add, during the tenure of Bathhouse Barry Barack Hussein Obama. What does that tell you? Look at, so next time you're having a discussion in public, you can see, the founders of Black Lives Matter, well, they met with Barack and Michelle, Barack and Michael in the White House. And you've got to, now think about this too. To meet with people in the White House, I know at least when I went to the White House, I had to go through a Secret Service check. Huh. Just saying, think about that. What do you make of that, folks? How can trained Marxists gain access to the White House and to the president and the first lady, just asking, with being trained Marxists and communists? I don't know. It's a mystery. Maybe not. Let's look at the next slide. These are the non-negotiable goals of Black Lives Matter. Look, if you take every, and I'm not going to read these, but if you take every one of these goals and you read through them, I mean, they want a minimum, universal minimum wage. One thing I thought was interesting, they want the names of police officers involved in the killing of black people within the last 5 years, so they can bring these police officers to justice if they haven't already. It's non-negotiable. These are non-negotiable Black Lives Matter goals. All right. So I think that's the end, right? Okay, good. When you look at this and you see the corporate backing now, the political and corporate support for Black Lives Matter that has become ubiquitous, you've got to ask yourselves, companies like Nike and others supporting Black Lives Matter, what are they supporting? Do they know what they're supporting? Many people might not realize that Black Lives Matter is a distinct political organization, not just a slogan, not just a hashtag, it's got enormous funding and a very, very Marxist and communist political ideological agenda. That's right. And I told you about its founders, the three mopes that that founded Black Lives Matter. And by the way, they also include transgenderism along with their goals. Just so you know, because the self-identified queer, again, that's her. Believe transgenderism and the LGBTQ ideology is important, and of course that's important in the larger sense to bring down our Western society, to get God out of schools, get God out of our community, and to live like that. Black liberation movements, by the way, in this country, in the United States, have created room, space, and leadership mostly for black heterosexual cisgender men, leaving women, queer and transgender people and others out of the movement, right? Well, they want to bring these people into the movement. All right. So Black Lives Matter, they constantly refer to the deaths of Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, and others as murder, ignoring every piece of evidence to the contrary. And they describe police work, now this is important, they describe all police work as state-sanctioned violence. All right, there was, where was this? I don't recall the city, but it was Berkeley. Last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a city council meeting that lasted until 3 o'clock in the morning. They're actually kicking the cops out of making traffic stops. There'll be citizens making traffic stops. Oh, just pop the popcorn, sit back and watch this. Here, hold my beer and watch this. But see, that's the influence of Black Lives Matter. That's the influence of these leftist organizations. And by the way, the corporate and political sponsorship and the corporate and foundation sponsors appear unconcerned about who they're supporting, as long as you still buy their products, as long as you still vote for them. I could go on and on and on and on and on. By the way, if you've gone to that Black Lives Matter website, they have a section about the coronavirus. It doesn't make any mention of lockdown, social distancing, or any other of the draconian measures that have been imposed upon the normal American individual, right? And by the way, they did say on their website that the pandemic, plandemic, in my word, could result in massive social, economic, and political upheaval as systems reach crisis points and begin to fracture, which is one of their goals, and that's what they want to accomplish. And let me just share with you Black Lives Matter 6-point strategy for dealing with the Chinese Communist Party coronavirus. This is Black Lives Matter 6-point strategy for dealing with the Chinese Party coronavirus. Okay. You ready? Sit down. Relax. Immediately pass a coronavirus relief package now that provides emergency funding assistance to cover expenses to massively test the population and the millions and provide emergency food and shelter to all the homeless and poor. It's communism. Provide a protection and testing plan for incarcerated people while in custody and after release. Cradle to jail to grave. Communism. Expand the SNAP and unemployment, the SNAP program and unemployment for the duration of this crisis, this pandemic, this plandemic, and immediately legislate fully paid sick leave for all workers. Damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. Implement an an immediate moratorium on evictions and utility shutoffs. In other words, don't you dare. I don't care if Corona doesn't affect me. Don't you dare shut off my utilities. I need my water. I gotta make me some beans on the stove. Emergency funding for family and community-based child care for families who can't work from home. Pay me anyway. I don't care. Real quick. Black Lives Matter presents itself as this organic, generic street movement, right? Shoestring resources. You want to see shoestring resources? Come over here. But you know what? In reality, it receives millions of dollars from corporate and political sponsors. That's right. Now, Fortune looked into BLM. The funding, this is now 4 years ago, and noticed its agenda funding streams could help dispel the myth that the movement itself is set on violence, right? But it didn't work out that way. Didn't work out that way. The machinery of Black Lives Matter, their funding has only grown more complex since 2016. You want to know who supports Black Lives Matter? Let me just give you a sampling. Airbnb, $500 million. That's to Black Lives Matter and NAACP. I'm sorry, $500,000, 500,000. Bad Robot Productions, whatever that is, some film studio involved in Star Trek, Star Wars, Mission Impossible, $10 million pledged to anti-racist groups. Black Lives Matter among the first recipients. Cisco, that electronics giant, of course. $5 million to groups, including BLM. Democracy Alliance, ring any bells? It's, of course, that's a Soros-linked group. Of their $500 million budget, BLM got a chunk of that as well. DoorDash! That's right. Food delivery company, $500,000 to Black Lives Matter. Breaks my heart on that one. Ford Foundation. $100 million donor fund. In part going to Black Lives Matter. George Soros Open Society Foundation. A chunk of $33 million. Pokemon Company. $100,000. Spanx. You wear Spanx, Eric? You got Spanx on?
Oh, yeah.
All right. $100,000. I could go on. You don't want me to. Washington Times, Fortune Pieces, Politico, Rolling Stone, Forbes, NBC News, The Wrap, Elle, which has a long list of fashion and cosmetic firms making donations to Black Lives Matter. They're making a ton of money. They are making a ton of money. I just want to read one more thing. When you go to the Black Lives Matter website, under the section of what we believe, the statement on its website that begins with the highly contentious and politicized assertions such as, expressing rage at the death of Trayvon Martin and subsequent acquittal of his killer, George Zimmerman. Here's what you find. If you go further down the page, I showed you the goals and objectives of Black Lives Matter. Further down the page, their agenda wanders into support for the LGBT agenda, transgenderism. A vow to dismantle cisgender privilege. In other words, they don't want, you know, they look, man, woman, they don't want that. We make our spaces family friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can move, so that they can mother in private, even as they participate in public justice work. Okay, I know I read that quickly, but really, they have declared war on the biblical family. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages. Remember Hillary Clinton, it takes a village? Gee, sound familiar? And, oh, this is kind of my favorite. We foster a queer-affirming network. Yeah. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Don't you? I hope you're not a heteronormative thinker. In other words, again, two sexes, two genders, you know, male and female. In Boston, BLM chapter is asking that $15 million in American taxpayer money be spent on providing summer jobs to not black Americans, but those here illegally, illegal aliens. I hope you can see what's taking place. And lastly, I had mentioned earlier, and this dovetails into this very issue. You know, did I mention this earlier in the show? I got so excited I forgot. You know, the couple in Missouri with the guns in front of their home and the Black Lives Matter anarchists coming through and the in Missouri, the district attorney or the circuit attorney, as she's known there, she is a Soros-installed puppet. And she's prosecuting or attempting to prosecute these two homeowners for protecting their property, brandishing weapons, taking their weapons. She is a Soros district attorney. Remember back in 2016, an article by Scott Bland, August 30th, George Soros' quiet overhaul of the U.S. justice system. The communists have zeroed in on electing prosecutors as an avenue for criminal justice reform. Behind the doing away with police and behind all of the, and behind the, district attorneys who are transforming the justice system is George Soros and many other groups like Soros who put millions of dollars into the campaigns. You're seeing this going on across the country with judgeships, with district attorneys, and with sheriffs. And it's working its way down in the city councilmen. So I would say this in closing, no matter where you are in the United States, if you see a race, please do your homework and drill down and find out where the funding is coming from. If it's the DA race, find out who's backing the district attorney. That last video, we'll end with the last video, which was the first one I sent you. This is that attorney in St. Louis, Missouri, backed by George Soros. Here is her campaign message.
As a veteran prosecutor, licensed nurse, and state representative, K-9 Kim Gardner has the experience St. Louis City needs as our next circuit attorney. Kim's plan, partner with mental health services to find alternatives to prison for nonviolent offenders, increase public accountability, crack down on gang violence.
I'm Kim Gardner. Together, we can make St. Louis safe by being smart and tough on crime, by reforming a broken system.
Kim Gardner for circuit attorney.
And there it is. Any questions? Folks, do me a favor. Let me know how you, what you thought of this segment in the comments section at YouTube. Send me an email, studio@hagmanreport.com. I read all of the emails. I try to read all of the comments, but I definitely read all of the emails. studio@hagmanreport.com, two N's on Hagman. And I want to thank you so much for paying attention and for understanding what we are trying to do. We are investigators, licensed investigators, multi-state licensed investigators, and we are working hard behind the scenes. We're not talking, just talking into a microphone, but actually working hard to save the country or do our part in saving the country. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagman Report. Again, thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. Thank you for your support. Going to be right back. Stay where we're at. And welcome back to the Hagman Report. You know, a very, very good, a dear friend of mine is Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle and I go back a long time, a couple of decades. I would give my left arm for Steve Quayle, and I feel that same way about Tyler Quayle. I spent some time with Tyler in, I don't know what's, I think Dallas or Branson. Branson, yeah, that's where it was. He is such an intelligent young man, and I respect him a lot. And, you know, it's, I don't want to say I'm old, but it's Tyler, it's that generation that's going to have to clean up our mess. So with me right now is Tyler Quayle, his own man, you know, although he's the son of Steve Quayle, Tyler's his own man. And let me tell you something. He is one of the most intelligent guys I know. He's a pilot. He's a number of things. But he's a good guy above that. Tyler, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Doug. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I was listening to your last segment dovetailing into this segment about the Black Lives Matter. And it's just very interesting because as you were going on, I was thinking about what we had talked about the last time I was on your show. And for anyone listening now that may not have listened then, definitely go back and check that. And I just want to briefly talk about something, Doug, as you were talking about, because it ties in with the Black Lives Matter thing. We had talked about, you know, kind of the spiritual conflict last time I was on the show. And I want to briefly recapitulate some of those things and tie it back. I'm going to start by reading 2 Timothy 3, okay? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this is the sort which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. It's really interesting there, 2 Timothy 3:8, is it mentions Jannes and Jambres, who were the Pharaoh's magicians, who withstood Moses. And remember last week I talked about the word in 2 Timothy 3:13 about seducers. and House Seducers was in Greek goes, which basically means rhythmic shouting as a means of incantation by way of magic. Okay, so we've got a literal spiritual magical force clumped in along with all these character flaws that the Bible says we're going to be seeing in the last days. Okay. So I want to then pull over to an article I found. This is on Religion News, and it's talking about how, the quote, Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement, says co-founder Patrice Cullors. I believe I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
So let me quote a couple things from the article. In a discussion that touched on that role that spirituality and prayer has played in the movement, quoting her, part of our calling as people who do this work for Black Lives is to lift our people up, both in their living but also in their death, Fuller said. The need to lift our folks up feels so incredibly spirit-driven for me. Okay? Well, number one, it's not the Holy Spirit, so by process of elimination, it's something else, right?
Yeah.
By highlighting their names, Cullor said she feels, quote, personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. Yeah. Which spiritual place is that?
Indeed.
Let me find the next point here, Doug. Oh, yeah. Bill said on Saturday, said it took her almost a year before she realized Black Lives Matter was much more than a racial and social justice movement. Quote her, at its core, it's a spiritual movement. Cullor said it became clear to her they needed spiritual protection as Black Lives Matter was targeted by the right, by police, and by neo-Nazis. To Cullor's, she wouldn't be able to do this work without spiritual practice. Wow. Folks, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the things we don't see.
Well, that brings it right to life. I mean, that brings it right to life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So that should be a clear indicator of where we're at, what we need to do. And how dare the so-called church bow to a false gospel like this and, quote, be woke, because these people are getting their marching orders straight from the pit of hell, from the spirit of Antichrist. So it's very, 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 very serious stuff, Doug. But we're not going to let it rob us of our joy or make us worse. We're not going to let it beat us down because we've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I really enjoyed being on your show last time.
I did too. I enjoyed
it. I think it was a good show. And reading the comments, I think a lot of people got some encouragement out of that. And what was really cool is right after we did that show, just a couple days later, it's like, I don't want to say validation, but validation for lack of a better term, things that we were talking about, there was corroborating stuff. What do I mean by that? So like just a couple days after we talked about that, all the stuff on that show, there's a phenomenal sermon that John MacArthur did on the emerging new religion, which ties in with all this. So I highly recommend going on YouTube and looking up John MacArthur's sermon on the false religion that we're seeing put up, because to them, and by their own admission, it is a new religion.
Interesting.
So yeah, definitely check that out. And then what's more encouraging is that day I did the show, I got just a random text from one of my friends. I didn't tell him I was doing the Hagman Report, but he was just talking about how he was kind of feeling like beat down and how he felt that the Lord was putting psalms on his heart. And I said, well, that's very interesting. I just did a radio show about psalms. Let me send you the link. And he said it was incredibly encouraging, which, glory to God, that means that show bore fruit. And I took his words to heart, incredibly encouraged. And that's what people need. We need incredible encouragement. You know, in English, incredible means impossible to believe. So we as Christians should be renewed daily in impossible to believe. And I say impossible by the world standards, impossible to believe encouragement from the Word of God. That's our river of living water. That's our strength. I mean, man, you stay in the news, Doug, and it's you look at what's outside and it's so easy. It almost feels like you're being caught in a riptide. Like you get vertigo, like you question, like, is everything I know wrong and everyone else right? What is real? What is sanity anymore? You know, it's like 2 + 2 = 5 to the world. And that's why we need to really, really cling to the horns of the altar, to put our minds in the Word. Because if you can at least get a hold of rock when you're underwater like that, you can at least know which way is up, which way is down.
That's true. And
it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like when you get in the Word, it's like being able to pop your head up above the water and get a breath.
And many people need that today. I received, after your appearance, I got a couple of emails, but more importantly, equally important, I received a handwritten letter by a gentleman who lives in a mobile home. He's in a wheelchair. He suffered some severe injuries during his time in the service. And he said that he spent his day watching the news and listening to various news podcasts and such. And he said that your Psalm 1:1 was such an uplifting thing for him. And I thought, wow, how great is that? I got a copy and send you that letter. I haven't responded back to him. So I think a lot of people are in that capture, they feel captured by the news.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're not to be captive.
That's right.
To that at all. We're to be bond servants of Jesus Christ, and that's it.
Mm.
There was another thing I wanted to touch back on, hearkening back to our last show, and I had quoted the 1 Peter 1:16, where Jesus says, "Be holy, because I am holy." I believe he said at the time, at least he's not telling us to be perfect. Well, it came to me after the show that there is indeed a scripture that exactly says that, Doug, Matthew 5:48, where it says, "Be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect." So we're not off the hook. But the reaction upon hearing that by believers and unbelievers is probably first and initial, well, that's impossible. I'm inadequate. I've missed the mark. Those are probably the first reactions. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But I want to talk about that a little bit. It's very important to understand perfection is Jesus, and our perfection is a process. Okay. There is not a series of set conditions that we reach or do and then, transcend. You know, that's not how it works. As we abide in the Spirit, we grow in holiness and repentance. We're able to be more and more like Christ. Now, it's not impossible because Jesus already did the impossible. Our walk is just a moment-by-moment trial and battle. But to those who endure, our reward is sure and perfect. I want to quote 1 Peter 1:7. "But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." We are in a battle, whether we want to accept it or not. There is still a yoke from the Lord, but it is light. And he helps our burdens. But to deny that there is a battle or a burden entirely is to be delinquent in our duties as Christians. But hearkening back, we plant ourselves by the rivers of living water, and he continues to give us strength through it. The only way to endure is to endure. And I want to also, there's an old Puritan statement. For every one glance you take to yourself in the mirror, shame, take 10 long looks at God and his love. You know, we think about that scripture, be perfect, and we are immediately probably bombarded with all the things you've done wrong. But I love that Puritan statement. For every one glance you take at yourself in the mirror, take 10 long looks at God and his love.
Wow. You know, sometimes I feel berated as a Christian, a professed Christian, and a very imperfect one at that. Sometimes I feel berated by other Christians, but because I'm not good enough. You're not, I don't even know how to describe it, but I feel not unworthy, but I feel like I'm sure some people out there can relate to what I'm saying or trying to say.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. But the forgiveness of God, we can't even really comprehend it. Oh, we kind of contrasted last week, contrasted believers, unbelievers. I believe we briefly touched on comparing the two religions, the emerging one and what we have.
Yes.
Doug, there's a whole almost new doxology being established by them. They have a new doctrine of original sin. It's based off your skin color. All that's missing at this point, the way I see it, is they'll need their Messiah, their counterfeit Messiah, to cement it. You know, that's maybe a conversation for another day with a lot of ramifications. But I want to talk on comparing their forgivenesses, because in their religion, there really is no forgiveness. There's no atonement except for your life, and then even you're probably spoken ill of even after death. There's no forgiveness. There's no mercy with this new religion whatsoever. So I want to quote about a couple scriptures on how good the forgiveness of Almighty God is.
All
right. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. When we receive Christ's forgiveness, those sins are as if they have never happened. He does not hold them against us. He does not remember them to our detriment down the road. He doesn't hold them over our heads like, you better do what I say because remember you did that stuff. And if, no. I want this forgiveness. I choose this day who I will serve. I will not bow down to this new religion, which is from the pit of hell. Mm. It's oppressive. It is antichrist. I want the forgiveness of Almighty God.
Yes.
We do not need to look far in this culture to see the lack of forgiveness that it offers. This new doxology. You have men and women's names being permanently ruined for X transgression. And it's like the goalposts keep getting moved more and more so that more and more people are in violation of this new set of laws.
Mm.
Spiritual laws or moral laws. We're seeing people's livelihoods ruined or being physically harmed.
Yep.
And once the cult or mob, whatever you want to call it, once they rule, there is really nothing you can do or say to merit forgiveness or warrant clemency. There is no appeal. There is no advocate. There is a tireless prosecutor, but no advocate. That's the spirit of counterculture or cancel culture in a nutshell. It's modern day digital stonings.
Wow.
And we can see today this anti-justice in our court system. I hope in the future you can have David Lankford on, because David Lankford had a wonderful sermon on the abuse of justice. That's one of my favorite sermons of his of all time. I may not have the exact sermon title right, but David has a wonderful, wonderful sermon on this. And Doug, aren't we seeing this anti-justice in our court system, everywhere? You just had Roger Stone on.
Yes.
Roger Stone knows a thing or two about that, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he came out and he was speaking about the satanic nature of exactly what you're saying. It's astounding right now to hear you talk about this in the wake of what he just said about the satanic influence or the satanic origins, the roots of this the anti-justice. Yes, absolutely.
Yep. And we see the same thing with General Flynn too.
Yep.
I believe General Flynn's a believer. And I believe we need to pray for that man, because what they are trying to do to him, I want to know this. Maybe we have some lawyers listening. I just want to know, has there ever been a case before where the judge said no to the prosecution trying to drop their own charges against the defense or the defendant? What perverse occurrence is this? I mean, John Quincy Adams would be rolling over in his grave. This perversion of justice to where the state is incapable of dropping its own charges and it just must proceed.
It's unbelievable.
I am so thankful for the justice of God.
That's the only justice.
Like Job said, he said, you know, he sought out God's justice because he at least knew he would get justice.
That's the only justice. You're right. And to those people, you mentioned General Flynn. Sidney Powell gave an interview to the Epoch Times. It's on HagmanReport.com. I don't mean to, promote my own site, but what I'm saying is,
I think it's okay if you promote your own site on your own show, Doug.
Well, thanks, but I guess the Sidney Powell was absolutely astounded by exactly what you said. When in the course of history has there ever been a judge that said, I'm not going to do that. No, we're going to go through. And then lawyer up himself. So you're right. The only justice, the only true justice is that of our Heavenly Father. But go ahead. Wow.
Doug, so this spirit of the Antichrist, we're seeing it permeate every facet now of our culture. I believe this is really the big play. And the anti-justice, man, there's no clemency. The only degree of clemency is just different weights of guilt and shame to put on people's chests to break them. There's no real reprieve or forgiveness. There's only absolute subservience. And that's the real slavery. That's the real slavery. Slavery to sin and bondage. So, I mean, to me, the choice is clear. When presented with the two, I choose this day whom I will serve. And I want to now circle back on repentance and that part about, you know, being perfect. Because that's really what we need to be worrying about. We need to be worrying about our own hearts more than what we need to do out in the world. We need to make sure we are right with Almighty God. And I want to talk kind of about that thing, Doug, that you mentioned, that you feel like you're not, you know, good enough, okay?
Right.
I listened to a sermon by Paul Washer, and he was talking about this. He was talking about, as we grow more and more in love with Jesus, and we grow more and more in repentance, you know, what he said regarding Christians who think that their repentance wasn't perfect or wasn't perfect enough, he said, So let me ask you something. You're consciously seeking out the Lord and growing in repentance, and you're worried about not being good enough. Paul Washer said, you know the Lord has been waiting your whole life to meet you? Do you really think that when he meets you, he's going to meet you with a scowl? That almost kind of makes me want to cry, because that's such a beautiful, simple, brilliant truth. When I heard him, when I heard that, it just clicked, and it felt like a weight was lifted off my mind. Never allow the enemy to get you to the place where you question your repentance or salvation outright, or get to where you stop repenting outright, as they will be more and more perfect as we grow more and more in Christ. And then I want to quote Paul Washer, who extrapolates on this. He said, you see, repentance, when it's portrayed in the Bible, we have all these characteristics of what genuine biblical repentance is. When a person comes to Christ, we can't expect them to have a full-blown, mature repentance. They will have the kernels of repenting. They will be understanding something of their sin. They will be broken over their sin to a certain degree. But even after they're saved, they're going to grow in repentance. Their repentance is going to become deeper. Those characteristics are going to manifest themselves in a greater way. So we shouldn't be telling converts that they must have this exquisite, perfect, biblical repentance in their life in order to have repented unto salvation. Because you don't even have that. You are growing in repentance. It's the same way with faith. Their faith isn't going to match this pristine, biblical picture of what faith is. They won't have this exceedingly deep faith, because I'm even growing in that after 26 years of following Christ. So we don't want to make it too hard for people to come into the kingdom. We go through repentance, and we go through the characteristics, and we help them. And we help them see, are these the seeds of genuine repentance? Are there the buds, the characteristics of genuine repentance? Are you believing as a child in Christ? Have you thrown yourself upon him? And I think a lot of these people are struggling because they actually believe they have to have this perfect manifestation of these two things to be saved, and it's not true. I love that quote. I hope really clears some things up and takes a burden that's undue off of people.
Yeah.
I hope that helps clear that up. But you know, it's a walk, man. It's a walk. It's a narrow walk. And as much as we would wish it was a wide Christian airport moving sidewalk, it's not. It's a narrow road, and we can just take it day by day. I was thinking about that, taking it day by day. So on the Joe Rogan podcast, he had this ex-Navy SEAL, and he was talking about Hell Week, which is the most grueling portion of the SEAL training.
Yep.
And the SEAL was talking about how imperative it was not to try and mentally plan out the whole week, because it would be overwhelming. He said he would break down the segments into X amount of minutes and hours until the next meal time. He said something along the lines of, I knew they had to feed us, so if I could just endure to the next feeding, I knew I could do it. You know, he would order his days, so to speak, and he would focus just on the moment, just getting through that moment. And I feel like there's a lot of wisdom in that. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And that's Jesus saying that. Psalm 90:12-17 says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I feel like we need to be doing that in these days. We need to compartmentalize all possible future battles, right? And focus on our day by day. What can we do in the day? Okay, we cannot stop the counterculture Marxist revolution in a day. There's nothing right now really any single one of us can do Okay, we're not going to go pick fights. We're not going to, you know, start blasting. Our weapons are not carnal. But what we can do is we can each individually on a day-by-day basis make sure we are clinging to the horns of the altar, make sure we are renewing our minds, and make sure our trees are planted by the rivers of living water so we can bear good fruit. I'll tell you what, according to the Black Lives Matter thing, this is the Black Lives Matter founder, this is a spiritual issue for her.
Sure.
We can all fight it day by day. We can at least pray. That is something we can do. Each day we can pray.
It's a requirement.
Corporate prayer and fasting is like God's intercontinental ballistic missile.
There you go.
We as believers all got together and started praying and fighting these principalities and powers. I believe we would see a change in this. Maybe unto the undoing of this whole movement, because they've just said by their own words, it's spiritual, so let's fight it spiritually. I don't think having a crowd of, you know, conservatives on one side of the road shouting louder than them on the other side of the road is the right way to get victory in this battle. I believe it needs to be fought at its root, which is spiritually.
Well, okay, if I can ask a question here, is not the battle, look, I understand the battle is not carnal. I mean, it's a spiritual battle. I fully understand that. But we can do both, can we not? We can fight the battle on a spiritual level as well as do what we can in our everyday lives. In other words, prayer and fasting, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm not even sure.
I would like to just say yes to you, Doug.
Okay.
But I believe this cancer, this cultural Marxism has metastasized to the point where I just don't know any other way than to gain victory over it except through corporate prayer and fasting.
Okay. All right. And I think that we need to bring others into that mindset as well, right? Okay.
But I will also say this. Remember I talked last week about each person taking up their cross, each person planting their tree, and as they get closer and closer to Christ, they'll bear more good fruit, and their leaves of their profession will be better. That applies to sheriffs. That applies to people in the legal sector, Doug.
Okay.
You have sheriffs doing this, taking these words to heart. They're going to stand up. They're going to be better sheriffs in their professional capacities. So I'm not saying everyone, regardless, you know, just stay home, I guess. I'm saying do this, and the natural fruit in your own life, you will be able to make a change by what you have access to. Your leaves, yeah. Doug, are this show. You have an effect by getting all this information out.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and that makes sense to me now. Not that it didn't before, excuse me, but it's better clarified this way. Fully under, and when you bring in that quote by Black Lives Matter about the spiritual nature of this, now it makes sense. It does.
Good.
Okay.
Good. There's a great quote by Derek Prince. He says, and this was pulling this from his, I believe the name of the sermon was Facing Perilous Times. He said, the question is not first and foremost, what should we do, but what kind of person ought we to be?
Which will define what we do.
Correct. Correct. You know, day by day, precept by precept, we endure. And every day is a day we have chance to have victory in that day through Christ Jesus. James 1:12 says, "Blessed are those who endure when they are tested. When they pass the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." We pass the test before us by enduring, and the only way to endure is to not give up. We fight day by day, moment by moment, thought by thought. That's why Scripture says we are to bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Because having, you know, three quarters of the armor and not having our helmet of salvation, that's going to render us ineffective. And it's the hope of salvation. We always need to renew our hope in Jesus' coming. That's the real crux. We must always have that longing for his appearing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We'll never achieve heaven on earth, Doug, unfortunately. There's no way to undo all the corruption. The only way to undo all the corruption now is for there to be a remake and for thy kingdom to come. We must always, that must always be on the forefront of our minds. Thy kingdom come.
You know,
I will be on earth as it's in heaven.
I, what I'm getting from this, and I hope everyone is getting from this, is you're providing what I've been looking for, and that's that bridge, between the spiritual and the natural, between the prayer and the do, if that makes sense. And
where the rubber meets the road.
There it is. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's both. It's both things. And I just worry, I just caution people to stay more in the word than on the Drudge Report. And I'm dealing with that myself, because we have to compartmentalize our battles, and there's so much from the media, disinformation, wrong information, woes and calamities just designed to grind a person down, that if we internalize all this stuff without bringing it to the Lord, it'll just ruin us and just render us mush. Where I really don't feel like or can't do anything.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, and I think, and if I'm understanding you correctly, you know, it's not necessarily turning off or completely abandoning the information in the natural, but it's supplanting that information with the spiritual forces that we need in order to fight that, the events in the natural.
I guess what I'm really trying to say, Doug, is don't let, how do I say this? No amount or degree of any existential threat absolves us from loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Right.
The only fear we are allowed to operate under is the fear of God. And no existential crisis absolves us from doing what the word says.
Things will never
be so bad enough that somehow the law of Almighty God is undone and it removes from us the burden to live right. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And you know, folks, the pauses that you hear and say, geez, is Doug going to say anything after Tyler says something? Or, you know, those pauses, I'm actually, and I hope you are too, you're taking advantage of listening and putting those words from your mind into your heart and understanding what he's saying. Because this to me is, I'm enjoying this. I mean, I'd love to, this is fantastic. Thank you. And thank you for assisting all of us into telling us exactly what the word says we should be doing. if yeah, I said that correctly.
Yeah, you're good. Okay. I guess, I mean, mainly it's, you know, look at it from a very pragmatic point of view, Doug. You know, for example, you're so, not you, I'm just saying you in the general sense, you're, people are so worried about this or that, they're so worried about the virus, they're so worried about Russia, they're so worried about China, that they've forgotten to, let's say, love their spouse as Christ loved the church. You can't, there's no room, there, I see no scriptures that allows you to be, you know, an asshole. there's no permission for that. You don't get a pass just because everything is so bad around you. That just puts more burden on you to take it before the Lord in prayer. And I do worry that is one concern of mine that I'm seeing. And just there's so much, and people get so wrapped up in all the existential threats that they forget about the real battle, which is the battle with their own heart. And that would be my just admonishment and encouragement to continue to fight your own battle in your own life, thought by thought, day by day. Take everything under the captivity of the mind of Christ.
Well stated. Very well stated.
Does that make sense?
It makes 100%. Yeah, it does. I'm right. Glad. Yes, yes. And is this not, and maybe I'm off base a little bit, but to me, we're seeing this fight within the body of the church. Now, I don't know if I described that correctly, the body of the church. We're seeing this fight, this constant, I don't even know how to describe it, but man, people have gone, people are using Scripture as a weapon against other Christians. Yeah. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's not how it should be. But anyway, I don't, is that part of this? Or is that something different?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I'll tell you what, here's my thoughts on that. I recently started attending a church again, you know, I know, shocking. But I did. I just felt like, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I just felt like he told me that, I shouldn't just be practicing my faith alone anymore, or isolating myself unto myself.
Right.
And that I should be a part of the greater body of Christ. Now, I don't want to enter a whole theological thing on, well, who's the real body of Christ? It doesn't extend to this denomination. It doesn't extend to that denomination. Okay, here's what I know. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, when the evil is so great, is going to raise up a standard against it. At this point, remember my illustration from last time? I talked about the Ten Commandments, choose this day whom you'll serve, and the divide, the schism. I think everyone looks like as if the defining lines were horizontal when maybe they're just a little bit more vertical. I don't think it's about denomination anymore. In fact, I got to be careful with how I say this. Honestly, at this point, if someone just says they love Jesus and they are not buying into the whole counterculture, cultural Marxism thing, I can find common ground with that. I will not argue if there is a Catholic on my left and a Presbyterian on my right, if we're all around the rallying standard of Jesus Christ against this new Antichrist religion. Does that make sense?
You know, not only does it make sense, but it actually makes me smile because, yes, I think that's what me and most people feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we got to stop getting hung up on minor theological differences if it's to our own detriment.
Exactly.
Between brothers and sisters. Now, that's kind of where I am. That's why I love quoting from Derek Prince, who is a Pentecostal, and I love John MacArthur and Paul Washer, who are staunch Baptists, you know? Have no problem reconciling that in my mind. They all love the Lord. You know what I mean? That's kind of the chief point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I get a lot out of Derek Prince. And, you know, I think back a dozen years plus ago, I never heard of Derek Prince. And now, all of this makes sense. And you're refining the points in such a way where the application for today, I mean, to me, it's so important.
One thing I'll do after the show, Doug, I'll email you the his sermon, Derek Prince's sermon, Glimpses of the Future, and yes. Then maybe you can have your sound guy pull some bits, listen through it, and listen for this, because it was recorded, I think, in the mid-90s, and there's so many things that are so 100% as to what's going on today that that may make a good show. But I'll send that to you after we're done.
All right. And by the way, it you know, we can spend all day long, folks. I could spend all day long talking about, the constructs of Black Lives Matter and the money system and the background and all this. But when it really comes down to it, without Tyler talking about what, the spiritual aspect of this and the battles, it's nothing. So, one cannot exist without the other, in my view. So thank you for really kind of bringing this, bringing this to godlike reality or God. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a perspective check and it's a priority check.
Yeah. Wow.
I was going to – I also have a whole bunch of notes because I think last week we went through Psalm 1.
Yep.
And this week I was going to go through Psalm 3. How much time do we have?
We've got 12 minutes, something like that. We go as far as you want. I'm going to be quiet and listen. So.
Okay. Well, I'll work through my notes on Psalm 3, which tie in with everything we've talked about previously.
Okay.
And we'll see how far we get. I may need to come back on next week if we don't get through.
Oh, I already have you scheduled in, so okay. All right.
Well, I guess we'll start by reading Psalms 3. This has been the longest prelude to an introduction of Psalms 3 ever. But praise God, we got here. I'll start by reading it. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheek. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. There's a lot of cool stuff in Psalms again. I love Psalms. Psalms is like a balm for the heart and the mind when you take it in light of everything that we're seeing. Like I said last week, the Word of God is absolutely timeless because it was written outside of time and space itself. So any verse is always applicable to any situation as it's relevant to any time in history. Isn't that cool? That just kind of blows your mind, man. I tell you, when I was writing these notes and outline, Doug, and I was just thinking about that. I was seeing myself type about, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about what that means for me. And I was just thinking about that day, man, that wonderful day. It'll be a frightful day for so many, but for the redeemed, it'll be a culmination of everything we've ever hoped and prayed for. Oh, what a glorious day. That's why that renews the mind of hope, knowing that there will be an end. This too shall pass. And we shall go into an everlasting kingdom. Oh, and we will see the one who died for us. We'll meet him face to face. It's just going to be so amazing. It's just, I look forward to that. That's when you have that vision in your mind, That's what gives us hope. That's what keeps pushing us onward to endure, to love, to not miss the boat because we're so far in. Oh man, we're so far in. Don't mess up now, folks. Don't give up. Because the culmination, the fulfillment is close. We're seeing things. We're seeing the birth pangs, right? That Jesus spoke about. This gospel of the kingdom shall be declared unto all nations, and then the end shall come. We're getting close. We're getting close. And that's that, like I said, that's fearful. If you're not right with God, that's a fearful statement. That should put absolute abject terror in you that we're getting this close. But oh man, oh man, you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You are looking forward to this like a bride looking forward to the coming of her husband, to that ultimate marriage. Oh man, that's the encouraging stuff. That's the good stuff. That's Snapple, Doug. That's spiritual Snapple. That's the good stuff. I just love thinking about that. I love thinking about the return and the resurrection and the whole new creation and all the justice that's going to happen during his reign. Ultimate vindication, Doug. Ultimate vindication. We were talking about the justice earlier, the anti-justice.
Yes.
And we get to look forward to ultimate vindication. You know, we may never see vindication in our earthly lives anymore because the justice system is so screwed up. But make no mistake, we will see ultimate vindication when the Lord returns. And the Lord is going to have the wicked pay the uttermost farthing. There will be a point in the time-space continuum, a point in eternity like nothing else ever. That divine judge is going to assert that court is now in session and all claims will be laid forward and addressed. All who never knew justice in life, Doug, all the innocents who never had a voice, who weren't even born, whose blood cries out like Abel's, and all the children who are sold into sex slavery, all the children that are born that we don't even know about, that are born to be in sex slavery. The judge will have them pay the uttermost farthing. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All the scornful who mock and say, who are you? There is no help for him in God. And hath God said, there will be justice. And it'll be a terrifying sight because as completely and perfectly as Jesus came in the beginning in the role of Savior, so too will he be as perfect and thorough in the role of judge. Think about that.
Wow. So we will see, well, there will be justice.
There will be. Yep.
And we should have joy in our hearts if we are on the right side of
Amen.
God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, like that, I love that statement by Paul Washer. Jesus has been waiting your whole life to meet you. You really think when he meets you, he's going to meet you with a scowl? No, we don't stand before the judgment seat when we're redeemed. Stand before the mercy seat and give an account of our actions as a believer for basically our reward. But no, the judgment seat is a whole other thing. And it will be a terrifying sight. And I believe all of creation, angels, everything will be in attendance in court on that day. He's going to lay it all out. It'll be completely thorough. There will be no stone left unturned. Our minds can't even really comprehend, but I believe in his complete judgment, he'll answer every, quote, defense that the wicked can offer. He'll refer them to his eternal, impermeable word. And that'll be the standard by which they're judged.
Well, when you say, and when it is said that we need to get right with God, and I know that can be a very trite-sounding sentence, yes, or statement, but how true that is and how important that is. Because on that day, at that moment, I mean, folks, think back if you've ever been in a courtroom. Think back. I mean, if you've ever stood before a judge, for whatever reason, wow, just think, think about how this will be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, very good point. Very good points. And I think this resonated. I would bet, and folks, feel free to comment on the YouTube section of this. I know you're listening perhaps on Global Star, but comment on YouTube and so Tyler can read your comments. But I think that regardless of whatever else, I mean, this is so important for people to really understand and to get and to embrace. I suppose embrace would be the key operative word here. Embrace the word.
And, yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's another cool thing to think about, Doug. As God the Father overruled the decision of death from the Sanhedrin and raised his son from the grave, so too will we who believed have the claims put on us be overruled by the ultimate judge and be resurrected like him. So think about every single Christian down through the ages, persecuted and killed by every regime. Think about the Coptic Christians even recently that were killed by ISIS on that beach.
Yep.
I consider myself a person with a stiff upper lip. I can tolerate a lot. But when I saw that, I broke down, Doug, because it wasn't the violence that was done to them that made me cry, but it was the peace on their faces. Because it was like Stephen Martyr, and they knew where they were going. And that look of peace on their faces burned into my vision.
Mm.
There's going to come a day when the divine judge before all creation is going to take those people and he's going to say, this was your case against them that you killed them. And this is my case. Your decision has been overruled because of what my son did on the cross. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be.
Amen. Amen. And that just sent chills through me as you were talking. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone, Tyler. You have a standing appointment. And I'll say this, I appreciate your flexibility and I appreciate
absolutely.
Understanding. Actually, folks, Tyler was scheduled for the time and Roger Stone was, we were the last interview, by the way, Roger Stone did before the sentence was commuted. So thank you for allowing us to do that. And
my pleasure.
Thank you for the word today.
Good.
You don't know how much it was needed. It really was needed. And I know many people got a lot out of this. And
good. Be blessed and be encouraged.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tyler. Tyler Quayle.
Thank you.
God bless you, my friend. Folks,
you too, my friend.
It's Tyler Quayle. SteveQuayle.com is the website. You know what? Send Steve an email. Let him know. The Tyler Quayle really knocked it out of the park. I'm serious about that. I can say as a dad, that's important to hear. And even as a just important. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining in with me and staying with us. And thanks for your support and thanks for your prayers. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.